There have been over 20,000 books already written about Joan of Arc, and now there's another one. Mary Gordon's slim new biography of the saint appears in the Penguin Lives series. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
These days, biographies are growing ever more bloated and bizarre. Just think of Edmund Morris's recent bio novel on Ronald Reagan. So it's especially cheering that someone at Penguin Books had the great idea to resurrect a quainter tradition of biography. Not so much a forced march over every mountain and into every mud hole of someone's life, but as a short personal meditation written by an insightful admirer on a great man or woman. Just the list of the already published and forthcoming biographies in the Penguin Live series is fun to read. It's like a printout from some inspired matchmaking service. There's Jane Smiley writing on Dickens, Larry McMurtry on Crazy Horse, Janet Malcolm on Chekhov, Peter Gay on Mozart, Jonathan Spence on Mao, and Bobby Ann Mason on Elvis. The latest life in the series is the one I really couldn't wait to read, Mary Gordon writing on Joan of Arc. Simply looking at the cover illustration of an armored Joan astride her charger reawakened action-packed daydreams, as well as what were probably nascent sexual fantasies from my Catholic girlhood. And what a smart choice Gordon is to write on Joan. As her novels like Final Payments demonstrate, Gordon is a writer who gets the Catholic sensibility from the inside out. She suggests that Joan should not have been canonized by the Church as the patroness of France, but rather as the patroness of the vivid life, prized not for military victories, but for the gift of passionate action taken against ridiculous odds, for the grace of holding nothing back. I like that idea of Joan as the patron saint of the vivid life, and if so, she certainly watched over the writing of this ardent and at times even funny biography. Gordon opens her lightly footnoted meditation on Joan in the present. She's sitting in the market square in Rouen, France, where Joan was burned at the stake over 5 centuries ago. It's a seedy place where teen delinquents congregate. Suddenly, 2 girls begin fighting, punching each other, drawing blood. After the police break them up, Gordon reflects on the shock of seeing girls fighting. Girls are not supposed to be violent, she says, but girls are not supposed to be warriors, whose métier is, after all, violence. It is precisely the disjunction between our expectations of what girls should do and the shape of Joan of Arc's life that has been, for half a millennium, a source of fascination. An obvious enough point, perhaps, but Gordon the novelist, through her rendering of the ugly physicality of the tough girl's fist fight, makes that point profound again. A 17-year-old illiterate peasant girl leading a retinue of some 4,000 men into battle? How did such a thing happen? Gordon's tone of honest, intelligent wonderment doesn't solve Joan, but rather involves a reader again in the strangeness of her identity and story. The well-known outlines of that story are clearly set down here. How Joan persuaded the future king of France to give her an army. How she turned around the Battle of Orléans in a week, achieving what professional soldiers had failed to do in 6 months. How she was deserted by her army when her fortunes turned, sold to the English, put on trial by church inquisitors, and finally burned. What distinguishes Gordon's account are the places where she stops to marvel at the reality of what Joan braved. Gordon describes the bruises on Joan's body after the first night she slept in her heavy armor. And what about that getup? Simply utilitarian? Suggestive of cross-dressing? Gordon's reading of Joan's armor is more subtle and spiritual. The section, though, of Gordon's biography that I think will really stay with me is her contemplation of the horror of Joan's death. I didn't know, or I'd forgotten, that Joan was so afraid of dying that she confessed to lying about her visions in order to save herself. Then 2 days after that confession, she steeled herself and returned to her original testimony. Joan wept when she saw the pyre where she would be burned. Afterwards, her corpse was displayed to crowds who wanted to check out whether this military phenom really was female. Gordon says, the display of Joan's charred body to gawking passers-by in Rouen ranks high in the annals of brutal exposure. It is impossible to imagine a male hero for whom such display would be required as a proof of any kind of authenticity. A lot of contemporary biographies place us readers in the situation of those medieval voyeurs, ogling the carcass of the defenseless subject. What's so great about Gordon's meditation on Joan is that somehow, as it stresses her humanness, her bad temper, and her sassy tongue, it only deepens her mystery.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Joan of Arc by Mary Gordon.